Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I am going to be speaking to you today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you would like to turn with me there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to emphasize verse 4. The title of this message is going to come from verse 4. But let's begin reading in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing your election of God. Knowing that God chose you. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling the Thessalonians. He's speaking to those who are in God the Father and in Christ Jesus the Lord. He's speaking to a particular people. And he said, you are God's elect, knowing that God chose you to salvation. Now, there are some truths in the Scripture. There are some truths in the Word of God that many people have a hard time understanding. They struggle to understand some of the things that the Word of God declares. Therefore, they don't believe them. They have a hard time understanding it, so they end up not believing it. Election has to be at the top of that list. For many people, election has to be at the top of that list of things that men and women naturally do not understand and do not believe. To say that God elected a people to save. To say that God chose who he would save. God, before the foundation of the world, chose who he would save. That's something that people all over this world reject. That truth is something that people everywhere reject and despise. They hate the thought of that. The thought that God, before man ever was created on this earth, chose who he would save. Men and women naturally hate the thought of that. And they commonly say, that's not the God I worship. That's not my God. About 10 or 15 years ago, a woman who I know, who is a believing woman, was having a conversation with another woman who was not a believing woman. And she was explaining to her some of the truths of Scripture. Some of these things that the sovereign God has declared in his word. And the unbelieving woman, after hearing these things, said to the believing woman, I hate your God. That was her response. I hate your God. That's terrible, isn't it? That's sad. That's sad. Hearing the truth about God naturally causes many people to say, I will not have that man reign over me. Once they hear the truth of what God says, they say, I will not have that man reign over me. That's not my God. I don't like that God. I don't believe that God, and I don't believe the Word. Well, Let's quickly go through some scriptures and let's settle, truly settle, whether indeed it is a fact that God elected a people. If you want to turn with me and see this for yourself, I'm going to go first to Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 4 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Blessed is the man that you choose and you cause to approach unto thee. That's election. That's election. God chose. God caused. God drew. Over in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4 says, "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect." Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And God said, "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, have I even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." You didn't even know me. What he's saying is, I married you. I gave you a new last name, even though you didn't know me. You had no idea that I did all of this for you. I chose you. That's election. That's God's election. Over in Isaiah 65, it says in verse 9, "I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there." In verse 22, it says, "They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, it says in verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets," false preachers, "and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." He said, if it was possible, but it's not. He said, if it was possible, they would deceive my very elect. Verse 31 here in Matthew 24. It says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." In John 15, verse 16, the Lord said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." That's election. In Acts 13, verse 48, it says, "As many as were ordained to eternal life believed." That's election. That's election. Look with me over at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 33, it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." Romans 9, verse 11, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then?" That's what God said. "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?" God forbid. What that means is, neither Jacob nor Esau deserved his love. The shocking part is not that he hated Esau. The shocking part is that he loved Jacob. Jacob was a sinner against him, a trickster, a supplanter. All have sinned. All deserve his wrath. So is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's election. Election. Ephesians 1 says we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's when it took place. Election. And we could keep going with this. We could just go on and on and on. Seeing that God elected a people to save. God elected a people. Every saved sinner was chosen to salvation. And that's the good news of the gospel. That is the joy of the gospel, is that every sinner who is saved was chosen to that salvation. They had to be. They had to be. There was no other way that man would be saved. And I selected that word very carefully. Would. There was no other way that man would be saved. It's true that there's no other way man could be saved. But there was no other way that man would be saved. Christ is salvation. Christ is salvation. When he came to his own received him not. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. That's what Isaiah wrote. Look with me at John chapter 3. In John 3, verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Light came into the world, and every person who is evil and does evil, which is sinners, hates the light. That's what the Word of God says. Lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. He doesn't want what he truly is to be discovered and be known. This is condemnation. Men and women will not come to the light. Will not. And it's because they love evil. They love darkness. That's all they can love. In order for condemnation to come to a person, in order for eternal destruction, eternal condemnation to come to a person, all God has to do is give that person what he or she wants. That's all God has to do. Is give that person what he or she wants. Sometimes we say it this way, and this is the truth. All God has to do is leave a man or a woman alone. That's all he has to do, just leave them alone. That's the truth. But all God has to do ultimately is give him what he wants. You know, if a man was drowning in the ocean, truly drowning, going down, and, you know, we could see that man drowning and say, well, all we have to do to let him continue to destruction is leave him alone. That's all we have to do. Just leave him alone. And that would be the truth. Leave him alone and he'll die. But here's the deeper reality of the situation of man's nature. Okay, this is what man is by nature. Man jumped in the ocean on purpose. Man jumped in to drown himself on purpose. Man does not want to be saved. Salvation is come and man rejects it. That's what it means. Salvation is come and man rejects it. Man has rejected salvation. Man despises salvation. Man says, I will not have it. I will not have it. So the greater reality, all God has to do is give a man what he wants. Give a woman what she wants. This is critical, critical information. I want to make this so clear because this is the absolute truth. Election. When men and women talk about election, when a man stands in a pulpit and preaches election, when we read in the Word of God of his election, election is God in mercy, not giving a sinner what he wants. That's what election is. It's God in kindness, in goodness, in grace, in mercy, not giving a sinner what he or she wants. Election is not God denying men and women salvation. I choose you and I don't choose you. I deny you salvation. That's not election. All men and women are headed into destruction, running head first into destruction. They want to go the way of sin and destruction. So election is not God denying any man salvation. He's running into damnation on his own. Election is the love that drew a sinner to himself. Election is the love that stopped his path. Election is the love that drew the glorious blueprint of salvation. Election is what chose men and women to salvation. Election is unto salvation. One time the apostles were rejoicing because they could do a few miracles. The Lord gave them the ability to perform some miracles. And the Lord told them, don't rejoice over that. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice over your election. Rejoice because God chose to have mercy on you. Rejoice over that. Well, back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing your election of God. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, I know that God has chosen you to salvation. Because, and may the same thing be said about us. This is my prayer. I pray this same thing might be said to me and to you. May this be said about us. He said, this is the evidence of your election. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, verse 5 says, for, because our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. He said, our gospel, our message, meaning the message of Scripture, not just because it comes out of my mouth, the message of Scripture. It doesn't matter what I say. All that matters is what has God said. The message of Paul. God used the apostles to write this word. The message of Peter and James and John and Matthew, Mark, Luke, Jude, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Malachi, Moses, all of these men. This message, our message, our gospel, he said, it came unto you not in word only. You didn't just hear it. In one ear and out the other. Many have heard with the ears the words of these men, the message of the Scripture. Many have heard it with the ear. And that's all that happened. They just heard it with the ear. That's all that happened. But he said, that's not what happened with you. Not only did you hear it in word, he said, you heard it in power. And you heard it in the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit came to you through the preaching of the gospel. You heard it in such a way that it went straight to the heart of your soul. and you heard it in alarming, awakening power. You heard something you'd never heard before. You said, I've heard a lot of men preach, but I've never heard anybody preach like this. And it's not the man, it's the Word. I see something in the Word I've never seen before. Alarming, awakening power. But how do you know, Paul? How do you know that God's Holy Spirit moved on me with power? How do you know He called me as one of His elect? He said, you believed. You believed. It came to you in much assurance. God convinced your heart. I believe that's the truth. I believe this is the truth. It takes the power of God's Holy Spirit to make a man or a woman believe. Men and women cannot believe the truth of God's Word. It's so shocking. It's so far from what man naturally believes about God and about the Scripture. And it takes God's Holy Spirit to cause a man or a woman to truly believe it. Truly believe it. The message, this message of Scripture. Paul said, you heard it, it came to you in word, and it said to you, the message of Scripture came to you and said to you, you're a sinner. That's what the Scripture said to you. That's what the Scripture said to me. Gabe Stoniker, you're a sinner. And Paul said, you believed it. I believe I am a sinner. This word said, salvation came and you despised Him. By nature, you rejected Him and you believed it. You said, oh, I see what I really am. I see what I really am by nature. But this word came to you, He said, in power. And it said to you, in spite of you, in spite of what you are, in spite of man's wicked sin, God in love and kindness and tenderness chose to show mercy to some. Through the giving of His own Son, He chose to show mercy through giving His own Son to be a sacrifice for their sin. And Paul said, you believed it. You believed it. Verse 5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. A dear man said this one time, a preacher of the gospel. He said, quite often people would come up to him and say, I'm struggling over assurance. I need to know that God has chosen to save me. And I just struggle so much over assurance. I just don't seem to have much assurance. And he said that his response to them has become, do you mean to tell me you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ? God's Messiah sent to save His people? And they say, oh no, I believe that. And he says, well then, do you mean to tell me you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Equal member of the Trinity of God? Able to perform everything He said He would accomplish? And they say, oh no, I believe that. And he says, well, do you mean to tell me then that you don't believe that God the Father chose a people to save from their sins? And that God's Son accomplished that salvation for every soul the Father chose in His death on the cross? You don't believe that His death accomplished that salvation? And they say, oh no, I believe that. And he said, well, then your problem is not assurance. Your problem is you're looking to yourself. And that's the truth. When we look within, oh, we just can't find any assurance. All of our assurance is in Christ. Our assurance is in the fact that God has revealed the truth to us and we believe it. We believe that I cannot do anything. He must do it all. Salvation is totally of the Lord. And Paul said, this is the evidence that Christ has come to you. God has come to you by His Spirit. You believed it in much assurance. The end of verse 5 says, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And verse 6 says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. He said, you became followers of us and the Lord. You wanted to gather where the message of Scripture was being preached. It's not preached everywhere. And he said, once you realized it's not being preached where I'm sitting right now, it made you want to get up and go find it. You wanted to gather with the message, gather with the Lord's people. And he said, you received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, in spite of all the persecution. When this truth comes and God opens a sinner's eyes to it, others around him usually don't see it. And it comes with much persecution and affliction. But he said, you received it with joy. Verse 7, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You were examples to all. Verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. He said, you went around telling everybody. And I know from personal experience, when God revealed this truth to me, I couldn't help it. I'm telling you right now. I have to go tell everybody. This is the glorious truth of the word. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Men have little idols, but our greatest idol is ourself. And he said, you turned from yourself, from your own works and your own pride and your own ability and your own. You turned from yourself, turned from your biggest idol to the true and living God. Verse 10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He said, this is how I know God chose you to salvation. The preaching of the gospel came to you in power. Power of the Holy Ghost, and you believed it. And you identified with Christ. Christ and his message and his people, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the affliction that came from it, you turned from yourself, you turned from your works to the true and living God. You said, I must decrease and he must increase. I believe him. Paul said, you're elect. You're one of God's elect. May that be said about us. Until next week, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.